providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
All right, 4 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon, and Ronnie, it's time to do it again.
A little bit, wow, a little closer to some college football.
You're jumping around like your pants are on fire.
This thing is a little loud. I didn't check.
Okay. I need to talk a little lower.
No.
Man. Before we start, let's all take a knee and get this radio moving started. Right, lots to talk about. That's only one of the many things we're going to talk about.
That's right.
Man, the college basketball world today turned upside down.
So. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know what you say. Other than this is probably going, without a doubt, be the largest scandal that's ever hit college basketball. Per se, you know, college football, and maybe it was, you know, you had the SMU, you know, situation years ago where they got the death penalty, but I've never seen anything like what we have just been exposed to that the FBI has, you know, uncovered in college basketball. So does it come as a surprise to you or me?
No.
It's not a surprise. I mean, I don't think it's anything that hadn't been going on for years, but when it becomes, you know, light for everybody to see, and it's not the NCAA doing the investigation, it is the FBI doing the investigation, I think people have much larger problems than it just being the NCAA. I mean, you're talking about money laundering, you're talking about fraud, I mean, you're talking about prison.
Oh, yeah, they're...
Mr.
Persons, Chuck Persons of Auburn, they're already talking about he will probably spend time in a federal prison. So,
you know, I mean, all you can do is just sit and shake your head as why. I mean, the guy had a great college career. He had a wonderful, lucrative MBA career. He made a lot of money. He was now assistant principal. He was now assistant coach at Auburn University. What would possess someone who probably was financially set anyway to get involved in such a scandal? I mean, apparently, you correct me if I'm wrong, over $90,000 has gone through his hands or passed through his hands going somewhere else. I can't understand it. I mean, is that the price?
For some
that,
people, it's never enough.
Yeah, but I don't know that he was so much benefiting personally.
Oh, he had to be somewhere.
Yeah, you would think, you know.
But he wasn't doing that for the
but
fun
that,
of it.
You're right, but I haven't heard that. You may have. I haven't heard that, you know, hey, this was going in his pocket, but you would, you know, have to assume he had to be gaining something other than, you know, trying to get passing money on to a player that we want bad at Auburn, and this is the way we can go about getting it. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me that the money is just filtering through you to somebody else. What would be the benefit of that?
Yeah, I don't know. He's making some cookies somewhere on that. But Person's only a small fish, really, in this. As the, let's say, yeah, the Urban Meyer of college basketball is caught in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh.
And because I'm saying probably Coach K would be the Nick Saban of college basketball.
Yeah.
And probably second, Patino. So we'll call him the Urban Meyer of college basketball,
yeah,
but he is
that's
now
fair.
No longer employed for the University of Louisville.
I think the official, in quotes, wording is unpaid administrative leave. That simply is a nicer word of saying you're fired, as President Trump enjoys, you know, saying.
And the question now becomes, Ronnie, does Louisville owe him the $44 million on his buyout? He and his lawyers say yes, that they will go to court and prove that he has done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And I think it all comes down to, can they prove it?
Right.
And, you know.
And he don't have anything on his record. Let's not
about
the strippers that he had hired to bring recruits in. And
he didn't know anything about that, Jason.
No, of course not.
And he didn't know anything about this either.
And another question for you, run it.
Yeah.
Does Jay Jacobs down at Auburn, is his
I think
name
he's in
surface
a,
in this? Bruce Pearl?
Well, all we can say is as of Thursday afternoon at 4:05, I haven't heard either one of them's name mentioned. Now,
they've got to be sitting on edge.
Don't you know? Absolutely. I mean, look, Bruce Pearl came to Auburn. He wasn't, you know, his history wasn't that of a choir boy himself.
No.
I mean, he, you know, he had some major NCAA violations while he, when he was at Tennessee. And now, you know, Chuck Person, his, I would say his number one assistant is probably, as you said, is going to the pen. Is Pearl going to be able to say, I didn't know anything about it, and that stick?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't really see him not knowing, but then again, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that shock us we didn't know about people.
That's so, right. But and Jay Jacobs, per se, I'm sure Jay Jacobs, I don't think Jay Jacobs knew anything about this.
Yeah, I can't see him knowing it.
However, he's associated with, I mean.
Institutional control.
That's right. Exactly right. Exact wording. He is the athletic director, and, you know, the buck stops with him. I mean, they already have the scandal with the softball.
I was thinking about that last night. I was talking to Kathy about it. And Jay Jacobs hires here. Okay, he hired Chizik, who got him to a national championship game.
That's
won the national championship.
That's
then
right.
He don't win a conference game, and he's gone.
That's right.
He hires Gus. We're going to cover football first. Hires Gus,
sure.
Gets him to a national championship, and now he's in hot water.
Hasn't really done anything since.
Hires Bruce Pearl, who had a record with the NCAA, already been in hot water.
Yeah.
He hires a girl softball coach who gets him to the national championship.
That's right.
And now
his son was.
And he knew about it.
The dad knew. That's right.
Sexual harassment of
that's
the players.
Right.
And then he hires a baseball coach who got him, I think, to the semifinals.
Right.
And I don't remember what happened with that, but there was something with that he had to resign.
Right.
So.
And now we're on to this.
A lot of questionable hires there when you get to looking.
You know, if you take Jay Jacobs' resume, as you've just gone through his choices in hiring, the best one he's got right now is Gus.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He hasn't gotten
them in. That's their best.
Yeah. I mean, he hadn't got them in any trouble. The football hadn't got any trouble. Has not been in trouble with the NCAA or with the FBI. Now, certainly they haven't produced like Auburn fans and the administration.
And I can't see that happening with Gus. I may be shocked out of my pants, but I can't see Gus Malzahn going down that road.
I couldn't see him personally. But there are so many people involved in the athletic, or in the football program or the basketball program that could be going on, and he could completely be oblivious to it. I mean, I can see how that's possible. But Jay Jacobs is this just doesn't look good for his situation.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying that the president's going to fire him or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, he just doesn't have a whole lot of trophies to hang his hat on.
No. They've got some wins out of it, but then in the end it seems like it always turns out to be sour milk.
Yeah, absolutely. But the main schools that have been implemented in this FBI investigation at this time is Arizona and Auburn, Louisville, Miami, Oklahoma, and USC. All of these people who have been indicted or are accused, or their name is being mentioned. None of these people are your head coaches. These are all assistant coaches that money laundering.
For
has
any
taken.
Alabama fans out there who are clapping their hands down and saying, "I knew they had
that's
to be
right.
beaten," and all that, tell everybody about the Alabama.
Well,
situation.
I think what most universities are doing now, Jason, is they're doing their own investigation. They're hiring law firms and lawyers to do their own investigation to see where they may stand. Well, Alabama has done their own investigation, and what we know at this point, and I'll have to look his name up. I think it's Bradley. I'll look it up to be sure, but it is the guy that's been to University of Alabama 3 years. His title is basically in charge of basketball operations, and he has resigned effective yesterday. So, look, there's something up in that situation as well. You don't just resign if you have, if you're not involved, if you know nothing about what's going on. So, so Alabama fans, you know, you, you, we that are Alabama fans sure can't be pointing fingers at anybody else because, what's that saying? There's a fox in the hen house in Tuscaloosa. At, to some degree, I'm not saying to what because none of us know, but all we do know is the guy that's in charge of the basketball operations has resigned.
And if anybody would like to call and aggravate me about it, the number 737-9505, but let me tell you this up front, I really don't give a rip. I told Ronnie the other night, and this this is honest as I know how to be, if they came, if we saw a news flash right now, Ronnie, that said Auburn basketball is closed and will never play again, I would go home tonight, eat my supper, lay down, go to sleep tonight, would not lose 1 minute sleep.
Yeah, I understand.
And go further, if they closed down Alabama and UAB, I wouldn't lose a week of sleep over. Now, if they closed the football down, I would.
But
basketball in this state has been almost none.
It has. And, but, you know, either by hard work and doing it the right way or either by essentially cheating, you know, both those programs, Alabama and Auburn, were on the uptick, you know. And I say this because probably I'm an Alabama fan. I think Alabama's uptick might have been, you may disagree, may have been a little bit more than Auburn's uptick. Alabama's recruiting class that was coming in is a little bit higher than Auburn's recruiting class. You got the Sexton kid from Georgia who is probably, I would be shocked if he's there more than 1 year and he's going to be on to the NBA. So, but they both had two great recruiting classes coming in, but was it because of Avery Johnson and Bruce Pearl, or was it because of, you know, hey, here's this or that, and we want you to come to the state of Alabama? I don't know. I'm certainly not accusing either university, but just it seems strange that the best recruiting classes they've ever had, we now have this situation going on. And let me say it again, Alabama is not implemented in this.
Yeah,
in this 5-team. That's right. It's not implemented in this as of yet.
Where this will end, who knows?
And it's going to be a long while before we do know.
Right. We'll also talk, I know everybody, unless you've lived under a rock, has heard the controversy surrounding the NFL and the saluting or kneeling, laying down, staying in the dressing room, whatever, during the national anthem. We'll give our thoughts. Probably going to be a lot of disagreement. I know I've had a lot of disagreement on Facebook over the past week. Not that I say that it's any way good.
Right.
But I just think our president blew it when he took the route he did. So.
Yeah. I don't really have an issue with him calling, him giving his opinion as to, hey, I think this is disrespecting our country, disrespecting our military, disrespecting our police, disrespecting our flag.
He could have said that.
That's right. But to go and to go further and talk about somebody's mother on national TV as the President of the United States, that's just, I don't care if, I don't care what anybody thinks of President Trump. That's over the line. I don't care if it's Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. That's over the line, period.
And my thing is, you are now the president, Donald Trump. Yeah. Act like the president.
That's right.
Leave Twitter alone. God bless him.
Yeah.
I believe he goes to sleep tweeting. He wakes up tweeting. Yeah. And nine times out of ten, what he tweets just gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah. But that's the tweeting part's never going to change because he has so many people who follow. I'm not a tweeter, so I don't know any other lingo, but that follow his tweets, that's his way of basically talking to the American public. He doesn't have to have the press to do it anymore.
Right.
And that's the reason, well, I think that's another reason they hate him so, but that's a whole different story. But the bottom line is, talking about some player's mother is over the line. It's unacceptable. And if your kid did it or my kid did it when they were young, we'd be tearing their tails up.
Right. And I know soldiers died for the flag and for this country, the freedoms we have. But one thing to keep in mind, folks, these soldiers and the soldiers that I've seen on Fox News will tell you this too, They also died so that these people did have the right to protest.
Right.
Did have the right to do that without being shot down on the spot as they are in many countries. So just be thankful we live in the country we live in.
Yeah, that's true. And if anybody doesn't like it, I've said it before, go to North Korea and get you a dose of that.
Right.
And see how you like living, you know, how you like it over there with him.
And instead of, my thing, instead of the president getting involved, and it's a private business, let the fans say what they do with their billfo. If you don't want to support it, turn off your NFL.
That's right.
Cut off your NFL package.
That's right. And don't buy the merchandise.
And that will get their attention.
Absolutely. Because that's the only thing that will.
Right.
Is the people who are going to the games and spending the money on the merchandise.
And the NFL don't believe people will do that.
That's right.
They think people have to have it, and we'll see. Right.
And I think, if I'm not correct, I know we need to go to a break, but I think maybe two sponsors have pulled out of the NFL. I have heard that.
Yeah, probably. I haven't heard that.
If that starts happening, that's when it's really going to get their attention.
DirecTV is giving money back for NFL packages if you say that's the reason you want to cancel your package.
That's right.
All right, we'll go to a break. We'll come back with Mr. Dan, the man, Vasta. Got a lot to talk about with Dan today. 416 Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Sports Talk Live 95.5 back with you, and just as promised, Dan the man is with us. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you.
Happy Thursday to you, Dan. What's the weather in the big town of Chicago today?
Beautiful again. A little bit more fall this week. Should be a little warmer next week, but more fall, low 70s, but still beautiful nonetheless.
Oh, great, great.
Football weather in it, Dan.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dan, Ronnie and I just finished talking about it. We talked about it a little before we came on the air today, and I know you know more about what's going on in the basketball world, college basketball world, than we do. So give us your take on just a highlight of what is going on with these coaches and what we might look for, what you think may happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly been a crazy past few days here, but certainly, unfortunately, you know, it's kind of reared its ugly head in terms of the battle of recruitment and just the overall, you know, adjustment from coaches trying to get the best players possible without, you know, seeing big time repercussions. And unfortunately, it's almost like watching the movie Blue Chips, if you're familiar with that movie.
That's right.
That came out like 20 something years ago. But I compared to that a little bit, and it's funny, Rick Pitino was actually in that movie as well. But it's unfortunate. Obviously, many people want the players to get paid, and opens up Pandora's box, and certainly certain programs and certain conferences can have a lot more money and a lot more ability to land big-time recruits and can, per se, get away with certain things that maybe the lower-tier programs couldn't. But, you know, it's just a very unfortunate kind of past few days for the sport of college basketball, and hopefully something will be done. But at the end of the day, it's really all about money and getting the best players possible. And some programs and some coaches try to do the most they can with getting away with whatever, is not legal, per se. And I think certainly a lot of coaches get away with maybe something a little bit. But certainly everybody tries to extend it, and every coach is a little different. So it's just been very unfortunate. You want everything to, you know, be as possible as, you know, is done the correct way. You want things to be done the right way. But unfortunately, these coaches that get paid millions of dollars that are trying to win championships and trying to be the greatest thing ever on the sidelines, unfortunately, don't always play by the rules. And so this type of things are certainly going to happen, because I don't foresee too many things changing in the immediate future, at least in terms of players getting paid and certain things. You got to just play by the rules, and that's what everybody's supposed to. And as long as you do that, I like your chances of being a successful coach. But unfortunately, there's a lot of pressure on all these coaches and a lot of stress, and some don't always handle it, unfortunately, in the right way.
Right. Ronnie and I were talking, Dan, do you think this may be the biggest scandal in college basketball history?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say yes, but I just want to see if there's more details that emerge, or, you know, maybe there's worse punishment coming down, obviously, if Louisville were to perhaps get the death penalty or something even close to that, then maybe I would have to say yes. But it seems like with many of these cases, in all sports, remember, there's FBI or the legal, you know, I don't want to compare it to the Zeke Elliott case by any means, but there's certainly all these question marks that are always seemingly unanswered until, you know, it seems months and sometimes years before things, in this case, many years, until things get figured out. So I have to kind of hold on the side of caution for the biggest, but certainly it's easily one of the biggest, especially in the last handful of decades. So it remains to be seen if more gets handed down, potentially, but it's certainly like one of the bigger ones of all time, to say the least.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, I want to ask you this. You know, they've implemented or indicted, or whatever the, you know, mm-hmm. correct term is, for about, five or six schools. Do you see that number growing as this thing progresses, and, you know, the tentacles are going to be far-reaching? Do you think the schools that have already been mentioned will be the only ones that are, you know, brought
sure.
into this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a little hard to say. I think it's possible maybe see a few more teams, but for the most part, I think in terms of, you know, Adidas taking a big hit with all these schools, I think those were the main ones that was kind of heard of, led by Louisville. But, you know, in this case, I'd like to think there might be a few more that come out, but for the most part, I think teams are the main ones in trouble, unfortunately. But, you know, there might be more details still emerging, so you just never know in this type of circumstance. But I think for the most part, what we've heard is mostly the teams that are in the biggest trouble. If any more get added late, it would be certainly a surprise, but a fluid motion, so certainly there's some fluidity where maybe a couple more get added, but for the most part, I think it is what it is.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, you know, we're talking about one of the main ones is Auburn and Chuck Person there being implemented into this scandal. I want to ask you this. This is really an opinion. You know, it didn't take them but any time at all that they got rid of Pitino in Louisville. How firm do you think Bruce Pearl's ground is that he's on right now? Because he doesn't have a squeaky clean resume, you know, himself.
Yeah, I mean, great point. I think that you know, more details. We'll see if they emerge, and potentially Bruce Pearl could be in hot, you know, he could be in deep trouble here potentially. But it's definitely officially hard to say for sure if he's, you know, has any type of a successful future. But certainly right now, you know, he's putting on the back burner potentially in terms of if anything else comes out of this. But certainly not good news, to say the least, but potentially he could avoid terrible and bad news at least.
Right.
Now let's jump out of the round ball and get to what we think, at least here in Alabama, is important, and that's the old football. Let's think back to last week. What stands out in your mind last week, looking back? What best games, surprises, or just what stands out in your mind about last week's games?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I was waiting for Florida State to get off the schneid, but it turns out when you have a freshman quarterback and you get 20 days off and you get play against a pretty good defensive front in NC State, you're going to have an 0-2 start. So Florida State certainly a disappointment for me. All's not lost for having a decent season, at least of getting to a bowl game, but certainly disappointing, to say the least, for Florida State. And Oklahoma State, I think, a tough loss to a TCU team that I was very high on this year, but I thought TCU would lose a game or two at least, and I thought this would be one of them. But the Horsfrogs, impressive in their road victory in Stillwater. Oklahoma State season's not over, because I still think a one-loss Big 12 champion is going to get into the CFP more likely than not. But they're going to have to likely win out and run the table, and TCU all of a sudden, they could be a few weeks away from potentially cracking the top 10 and being a legit threat to Oklahoma in the Big 12. So those really stood out to me for the most part. No major upsets. A lot of road teams avoided big upsets, but certainly the game of the year for me, at least thus far, the leaderboard, if you will, I would go Penn State and Iowa gave us quite the finish, and Mr. Barkley, Saquon Barkley, the top Heisman frontrunner for me at the moment, easily the top non-quarterback as well, which I think could go to his advantage if Penn State stays in a CFP hunting race like they currently are.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, since we're talking about football, I've just got to ask you about the controversy that's going on with the NFL, with the kneeling during the national anthem. I'm looking for your opinion. You know, how does this end? When does it end? Where does it end? What's your thoughts on what's taking place in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, everybody, I'm not, you know, a player, so everybody's going to have their own opinion of what's right and what's wrong. But, you know, I don't think I would, you know, probably take a knee. But certainly, we'll see the Packers and Bears game today. So what they do, the Packers have said, you know, they're going to, you know, not hold hands, but hold each other's arms as a unity. You're right. I mean, I'm not really, I think everybody certainly has a different opinion, which I respect, but certainly it seems a lot of NFL fans have really gotten negative about it, and it's really affected them. I don't, it's really not affected me by any means. I still live my life the way, that I think is, you know, as good as possibly I can, and we all love America, but certainly everybody has their own reason. It's hard to say, you know, I'm not in everybody's shoes every day, so everybody's got their own opinion. I'm not sure when this will end. It could be for the rest of the regular season, potentially. You just don't know, and not a lot of people agree with many politics, and seems like many athletes these days certainly are not fans of our president right now. So
right.
It's just a difficult time for many, but I think it's certainly, you know, for many, I would argue the hype is real in terms of, you know, how much it affects them. But for me and for many, for some others at least, I think it's a little bit overhyped, especially since the media is talking about it quite a bit. Unfortunately, the NFL just had their best week of the season with many great games, but unfortunately, it kind of took a back seat, obviously. So it's really all unfortunate, but everybody's got their own opinion. I respect theirs, but certainly, it's a little sad to see a lot of fans are burning their jerseys and their team gear
right,
based on what the players are doing. I think that's a little over the top, but you know, everybody's got their right for their own opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks on that. Hey Dan, let's get on to what Jason and I love here in the heart of Dixie and in the state of Alabama, and that's Alabama and Auburn football. My first question will be geared toward Alabama. My question is, you know, both of them, Alabama and Auburn, both took care of business very, very easily. And very quickly, on Saturday, my question is, first is about Vandy. You know, every year we hear, or down here you hear that, you know, Vandy's, they're looking better, their team's better. My question is, will they truly ever be able to compete for an SEC title? And if so, do you think it's based upon the requirements to simply get into the school?
Yeah, I think it certainly has a lot to do with it. We did see Stanford have quite a bit of success, but I would argue, you know, that helped had Jim Harbaugh and Andrew Luck. But certainly the Pac-12, in my opinion, is a much easier, you know, chance to get deep into a conference championship game than, say, Northwestern in the Big Ten, and obviously SEC, even in the East with Vandy. Certainly the standards, it's hard to get 4- and 5-star athletes due to the grades, and it's going to be very difficult. I don't foresee, you'd have to have a juggernaut like Georgia or Florida and Tennessee. You'd have to pretty much have all three down. And we've seen those three, not exactly, you know, like the world for the last couple of years, though. Right. It looks like Georgia may be back to dominance. So I would say it's going to be very difficult for Vanderbilt to ever appear in the SEC championship. But it wouldn't be the biggest shock of all. I would come up with a few more things that would stun me more. But I think it would rank pretty high on the list because it's a grueling schedule in the SEC, even in the East alone for Vanderbilt. And they don't have quite the stars. They've beaten the likes of Georgia before. They've given Florida some good games. They beat Tennessee last year. But there's still other games in the schedule. And you have two cross-rival games in the West. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty impossible, I think, to get to the SEC championship and win it as well. So it's just unfortunate because they can't play with the 4- and 5-star players that we see consistently with Georgia and Florida have. But still, nonetheless, it's nice to see them get to a bowl game, get to 5-6 wins, because I still respect the SEC about as good as any conference in the country still.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that, Dan. Hey, now let's shift gears and let's talk a little bit about Missouri. You know, in a quick background, the first year Missouri came into the SEC, boom, they are in the title game representing the East. And since then, it has been a slippery slope downhill for them. And this, and Jason and I have talked about, this may be one of the worst SEC teams I have ever seen. So what has happened from getting to the championship game your first year to being in the absolute bottom now?
Yeah, it's been an odd ride for sure. They came in, and with A&M, they kind of surprised us just being how dominant they were, getting back-to-back SEC titles until your two teams, Alabama and Auburn. Gave them a good thump in Auburn, I think. Had, 400 or 500 yards to Trey Mason. That game was fairly close until the very end, and Alabama whipped up on them pretty good. But right. I think those two years, the offense was really good, and some did hype up the offense to be really good again this year, but they had a lot of good, you know, quarterback receiver play. They had Doyle Green Beckham, who was one of the better receivers in the country that year. And then even before that, when they won the Big 12, they had the likes of Chase Daniel, who had nearly a national championship appearance before they lost to Oklahoma in their Big 12 title game. But I think it really comes down to, you got to have a great offense, but when you get to the SEC, your defense be very good. You better be. And it's been quite the opposite. It's been abysmal. So they got to get back to recruiting good players. I think a lot goes unsaid for losing a Hall of Famer in Gary Pinkel, and I think they will be looking for a new coach at Barry Odom. I think he's likely on the way out, and I think there's a good chance he could be on the way out this year. I thought
right. Later
in the year, he was kind of under the radar hot seat because you had Kevin Sumlin and certainly Tennessee and certainly Arkansas and Ole Miss, obviously, before the season, lost their head coach. So there's just so many more popular teams in Mizzou. And I think that's why they've kind of fallen under the radar in terms of how bad they have been the last couple of seasons. I think they need to start over and get back to recruiting because, I think they could still threaten the SEC East, but consistently they're almost in the Vanderbilt phase where they can't get many 4- and 5-star players. So it's really difficult to be better than a 500 team. And at this moment in time, they wish they could just be 500 overall.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dan, taking a look ahead to Saturday, Alabama coming in, a team that's kind of had their number, at least while Hugh Freeze was there. Alabama now a 27.5, 28-point favorite. Give us your thoughts on this one. You think Bama wins the game, and if so, do they cover that large spread?
Yeah, I think certainly coming off a great victory last week in terms of dominating fashion over Vanderbilt, I like Alabama's chances again to get a big-time victory. I don't really think Ole Miss is going to be quite the threat that they, we've seen them kind of be, you know, the juggernaut that, at least when they play Alabama over the years, beating them a couple of times in a row. But I think for the most part, Bama's going to control the line of scrimmage and just do what they do best. That's get after opposing quarterbacks and have them turn over. And as long as they win over the, you know, win the turnover battle, they're going to be big-time favorites consistently. And I think at least come close to covering most of these big-time spreads. But I think in terms of this week, I really do like their chances. I think Ole Miss will score, but I think this is more of like a, you know, 40-10 game. So I think Bama's going to squeak by in terms of that number. But I wouldn't be surprised if Ole Miss gets double-digit points here. But it's going to be tough for Ole Miss to hold Alabama below 40 points. And if they do, there's a chance that Ole Miss might not even score. So I think Ole Miss might score a touchdown this week, but I think Alabama's got a chance to potentially score on defense or special teams, and would take it close to last year in terms of that great number. But I think they can beat you in so many ways, defense and special teams. They've been consistently, in terms of touchdowns, not offensive touchdowns, as good as anybody in the country over the years. So I got like a 41-10 type of ball game where I think Bama will roll on here.
Okay, good deal. While we're talking about your predictions, let's jump over to the other side of the state. Auburn hosting Mississippi State. Auburn a 9.5-point, 10-point favorite. Which team is the real Mississippi State first, and then what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think they're somewhere in the middle. They're not nearly as bad as they should against Georgia, though. I've been high on Georgia for a few years, and I think their linebackers are probably the best in the country, not named Bama, and you could argue the running backs are the best in the country, maybe not named Alabama. Hopefully we can get a collision course between those two teams. But Mississippi State, I think, is kind of in between what we've seen the last few weeks. I don't think they're nearly as bad as they showed last week, but I was never jumping on. I don't think I would until at least they do it, which I wouldn't rule out. But they proved me right last week. I think they're more of, you know, 7-8-win team. They're a solid program. Dan Mullen always avoids them from the basement of the West. They don't really beat themselves up too much with penalties and turnovers, but certainly Nick Fitzgerald does not have a ton of help. He is a tremendous quarterback, but he took some licks last week, and I think he might take a few more against a very good Auburn front four. So I think Auburn's going to wear him out in the trenches, come up a tough loss for the Bulldogs. I think Auburn's going to continue to get rolling offensively. While certainly it was Mizzou last week, I think Auburn's going to find a way to win that fourth quarter battle in the trenches. So I like Auburn fairly close, but I think they open up a little bit in the fourth quarter. I think we see like a 31-17 type of ball game where I think it's going to be a well-played game for both sides. But at the end of the day, Nick Fitzgerald just doesn't have enough pieces around him, I think, to pull this big-time, I would consider big-time road victory. So I like Auburn by about 2 touchdowns.
Great.
Hey, Dan, you know, just throwing this out, you know, last week, the hottest name out, or like week before last, it seems like it's week by week, the hottest name out in the SEC coaches was Dan Mullen. Has he basically, do you think he's been there several years? I don't know the exact number. I would probably close to 10, but has he done about all he can do with Mississippi State? Or, you know, can he get them back to number one eventually, or maybe win a, you know, SEC championship? Or is it time for him to say, hey, you know, I've done all I can. I may need to put some feelers out about, you know, looking to relocate.
Yeah, I think that's certainly interesting. I believe since 2009 he's been there in Stark Vegas. So, yeah, about a decade. I think it's amazing he still has finished last in the division in the SEC West, the gauntlet that it is. But I think he loves it there, quite frankly. I mean, he's getting paid pretty well. He's getting premier. He's getting some underrated talent guys to the NFL, certainly Dak Prescott. He's gotten some front players on the defensive side, Chris Smith. They've gotten some good players, I think, overall. It was just not too long ago they were number one in the country until they went into Tuscaloosa and had a good play ball game there and still finished the year well overall. But, you know, it's up to him. I think he would have left by now if he really wanted to get a so-called maybe potentially bigger job. But he's getting paid well. He's doing well. I think he loves it there. He's a great offensive mind for the most part with the talent surrounds him. He gets mainly 3 and 4 starts at best. And he continually wins 7-8 ball games, at least gets to a respectable bowl game more times than not. I think that's his home for now. So I think he's been doing well. in Mississippi State. I think he'll continue to be a mid-tier SEC West team at least, because we certainly see some teams like LSU and occasionally Auburn where they're kind of stuck in the middle, and Mississippi State sometimes gets one of those teams, like Mississippi State got LSU this year. So I think he stays put. It would be a little bit of a shock if he left elsewhere, because he's been there for a while and he's done so well, and I think he loves it there so much.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Dan. I think he could have left if he'd wanted to, but you know, he's kind of king of his own castle there, and he's getting paid, you know, good, really good money. And I don't think he has an interest in leaving. So I just completely agree with you on that. Dan, if we look at other games, you know, games going on throughout the country this weekend, what are some of the games that may be on your radar, and give us a few predictions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think certainly it's going to be tough to maybe match last weekend's, but that's what makes college football the best, is there's always some underrated games that always end up kind of catching you by surprise. So, but for this week, I think you're going to certainly get a little bit of ACC action in terms of the late night game. Clemson and Virginia Tech, I think, could be a very intriguing matchup in Blacksburg, where I think Virginia Tech's going to fare much better than Louisville did at home. And I think the Hokies will get some home cooking. I think their defense really step up, and this will be a defensive battle. And I don't think a lot of points will be scored here, but I think Clemson's defense will outshine the Hokies. So I think that's a close 24-20 game. I like Clemson there. And then, for the most part, I mean, I gave you the Auburn-Alabama scores. I'm looking forward, though, to the 2:30 slot. We'll see if Florida State can get off the schneid, as they're 0-2. They got to go to Winston-Salem. And certainly, I think it was in the late 80s, if I'm not mistaken, where Florida State 89 set out 0-2. And then they win the rest of their games and beat Nebraska, I think it was in the Orange or Fiesta Bowl, and end up being top five. I'm not ready to say that by any means, but I'm not ready to say the sky's falling in Tallahassee, though it certainly has been disastrous. And then also Georgia and Tennessee, I think, will be a pretty much the primetime 2:30 Central game, because I think Georgia's the best team in the country, maybe, not named Alabama, not named perhaps Clemson. But after that, I'm starting to believe that maybe Georgia's about as good as it gets. So this is a road test. Butch Jones, obviously, I think, is going to want a big-time victory. Perhaps it could save his job if he were to pull it off. They're about a touchdown or so underdog at home. We're going to find out if Georgia's for real, because big-time home victory gets a Mississippi State team where not many people were picking Georgia last week, at least not everybody.
Right.
And this week, I think most people will be pounding Georgia. I think this actually comes down to the wire. I'm going to go Georgia in a close one, but I'm really intrigued to see what Tennessee shows, because if they get blown out early or don't look good early, it could get ugly for Butch, and I think Georgia then is only going to move up and skyrocket in the polls. And then lastly, I certainly think you saw it, Notre Dame blew out Michigan State. Under the radar game, I think Iowa, slight dogs, but I really like them at Michigan State this week. But I think that's Akram Wadley, a very underrated running back for Iowa, that I think if he was maybe in the SEC, he'd be getting a lot more love. I love his explosiveness as a running back. He's a dual threat in terms of he can catch it, he can have the backfield as well as run north-south. So those are some main games, but the SEC game I think to watch this week is going to be Georgia-Tennessee at 2:30 slot. Huge for Tennessee if they want to have any chance in the East this year, want to save their coach, maybe save their program from mediocrity, and then also it's huge for Georgia because I think there's a legit chance it's going to end, Georgia will. They're going to end their decade streak, or drought, if you will, of failing to play in a BCS/New Year's Six bowl game with Kirby Smart now at the helm. I love them this year. This is their time to survive in advance, I think. It could be an ugly road win. Looking forward to that game as well.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Dan. Hey, I've got a couple more questions I want to ask you.
Sure.
One of them is certainly football-related, and one is not anything to do with it. It's baseball-related. But with football first, mm-hmm. My last question here is we always ask you for your top four teams. Could you give us those again, or have any of them changed since the last week when we talked?
Yeah, I don't think my top four has changed. Certainly a little different than I projected. I was projected a little under the radar with Florida State, and that's out the door. But my projected,
right.
We talked last week, I had Alabama 1, Clemson, Oklahoma 2-3, and then I did have USC 4, if I'm not mistaken. I had Oklahoma State 5. But in terms of the top four, I would keep that. I would bump Oklahoma State. I think I would probably sneak in Penn State. But I think Georgia is going to be rising quickly. So they're a team I kind of got them in my top 10 right now that they can keep moving up. But the top four, I think, for the most part, stays the same. And I'd have Penn State as my first team out. So I would still have the Big Ten slightly out if the CFP were today, in my opinion. But certainly that top four, USC is a big game. Friday night at Washington State, where they're likely not going to have every other one of their starters outside of Sam Darnold playing, so that's a game to watch out as well. Don't think Washington State's for real, but USC, tough road trip. We'll see how they fare, because that could be one of their tougher games this season.
All right. Hey, I got one more question, and I'm going to let Jason close it out, but let's go out in left field, and since we're talking about left field, being October, we know, you know, it's baseball season is winding down. I want to know, Dan, who do you have in the World Series, and who's going to be the next World Series champion?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's always great to talk baseball October, one of the better times of sports
right.
season. I think it's a crapshoot, quite frankly. A lot of people like Cleveland big time, the AL. I'm not down on them per se, but I'm not sure they're going to get through the AL. We're going to find out, though. Cleveland's only one game up entering the day. They did win, beat Minnesota today, but they're only a game and a half up on Houston for home field.
Right.
That could be huge because the loser, a worse record between Houston and Cleveland, would have to play Boston in the division series. And I kind of like Boston right now. David Price, former Vanderbilt Commodore,
yeah.
has been great out of the bullpen. So I'm going to actually go on the radar and pick Boston to win the pennant in the AL.
Yeah.
And I'll go maybe a little off the cuff here in the NL, a team that I picked in the preseason. I think they've actually exceeded my expectations based on some injuries they've had. But now, for the most part, they're 100% healthy, and that's the Washington Nationals, who
right.
I think have a chance to potentially sweep the Cubs next weekend. I think they'll be playing Friday, Saturday, and then game three Monday. At Wrigley,
yeah.
I think it's going to be the Nationals over the Dodgers. So give me the Nationals and the Red Sox in the World Series. And I think the best pitcher in baseball, arguably, is Max Scherzer for the Nationals. Another SEC, or at least now, Missouri Tiger he pitched for back in the day.
Right.
And I think Bryce Harper, I think if he can be any bit healthy in the coming weeks, I think that lineup with Ryan Zimmerman and Anthony Rendon and Trey Turner and Daniel Murphy, who's been Mr. October so many times, it seems, the last couple of seasons. I think that team, and people laugh at me because of Dusty Baker's track record, but I think he's going to break through here. Something's going to give. It'll be a big-time series with the Cubs that everyone will be watching. But I'm going to go with the Nationals breaking that little that state and that city, that curse for professional teams. But so I'm going to go with the Nets
right.
over the Red Sox for my World Series, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that.
You got it.
All right, Dan. We're going to wrap it up here with just some of my off-the-wall questions. I didn't write any down today, so I'm going to have to make these up as we go, so there probably won't be but two or three. But you got my first question in my mind when you said October, one of your favorite months of the year for sports. So I'm going to ask you and Ronnie, and I'll chime in. What is your favorite month of the year for sports? Dan, you start
yeah,
off.
For sure. I think we might disagree here just because there's so many great times. If I had to pick one, I love March. I love December with the bowl games, but I'm actually going to go with September because it's the kickoff of college football and NFL, and then you got all those fantasy football drafts that are officially there and done with, and then you got, of course, baseball heats up. And then before you know it, it's kind of the end of the summer. It's still great weather in the Chai City. There's just so much excitement. The endorphins are going bonkers. There's just so much going on. So I think that's my favorite time of the year. And so the preseason hype comes to an end. The seasons kick off. So I'm going to go with September.
All right. Ronnie?
I think I'm going to I agree with everything Dan said, but I don't want to say the same month he did. So I'm going to go with January. With it being the end of football season, and we're going to see who the national champions are and how the bowls line up and who's in the 14 playoffs. So I'm going January.
All right. And I've got a different month altogether. I'm going with November. And the reason for November is it is basketball is going.
Yeah.
Baseball is over with. So I don't have to hear about baseball. The Alabama-Auburn game is in November.
Yeah.
And then you got Thanksgiving Day, the basketball tournaments, high school basketball tournaments around here.
That's true.
And then the long weekend, again, the Alabama-Auburn game sells the month. So.
It's all about Alabama-Auburn for you.
Most
then.
Of it, yeah. Oh, and Auburn, Georgia is always in November. So.
The what?
Auburn, Georgia game's always in November.
True.
But mainly because basketball has started and baseball is over.
Ended. Gotcha.
All right, number two, and we'll let Ronnie start this one off and then go to you, Dan. If you could spend 24 hours with any professional athlete or coach as just a buddy running around playing golf.
Professional.
Yeah, anybody, and just get to know this person, who would you choose?
Wow.
Wow. Oh, you want them to be active currently in, you know, as a player currently.
Well, active player or coach.
Or coach.
Wow.
What a question.
That's the reason I started with you.
Oh, I'm first?
Yeah, you're first.
Oh.
If Dan's got his, we'll get you off the hook and let Dan go.
I'll go Nick Saban for coach. But if I had to pick one, if I had a tiebreaker, I'll go with the player over the coach, even though I feel like I know more about Nick Saban than maybe a player, and I would probably choose, I'd go with Russell Westbrook as a player for the NBA. I think the reigning MVP, now he's got some help with the Thunder since Durant left. I think that would be certainly an interesting, and obviously people love his fashion, if you will, as well. So certainly I think lots to talk about. I think those two stand out to me.
Okay. Good deal.
I'm going to pick Greg Popovich. He's a very unique individual, great basketball mind, head coach San Antonio Spurs. I don't know that I agree with him politically, but he's a guy I would like to spend some time with and get to know and pick his basketball brain. Greg Popovich.
Good deal. And I'm going to blow your mind, Ronnie, because this is one you would have never seen coming from me because I really don't take part in this sport. But if he wasn't one, he would be number two. I can't think of anybody else that would overtake him. My number one would be Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson.
Wow. A golfer, and I very rarely play golf. Once every 10, 12 years.
Yeah, I would have never guessed golf for you.
But just interesting to me, his life story, and he is one of the top money makers, and he loves to gamble. So.
Yeah.
All right, one more, and we've asked this before, but I'm going to rephrase it and make it a little different. You've got a week paid vacation, and all this is completely paid. You get to go to one sporting event. What would it be, Dan?
Wow, one sporting event.
And it's completely paid.
I've been to a few, but not every. I haven't been to too many big ones yet. I would probably choose the Super Bowl. I think that would be the one I think I would want to attend the most, just because it's almost considered a sports holiday or a national holiday, if you will. But I'd probably go with the Super Bowl.
Okay, right.
That's exactly what I was thinking. As much as we all have opinions about going on with the NFL right now, but I would pick the Super Bowl. I'm with Dan.
And I'm going to join all three of you in a Super Bowl. And this is our chance. Isn't the Super Bowl in Atlanta this year?
Minnesota this year.
I thought it was in Atlanta this year. National championship in Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's even better.
Yep.
Well, all right, Dan, man. We appreciate you joining us, and hope you have a great weekend. And if it's okay, we'll stay in touch with you and get you back on here before long.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on, and have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Okay. You too, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great one. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, Dan Vosta, great guy.
Book of knowledge.
I'm telling you.
Did you notice when I threw the baseball question out, he never missed a beat?
No.
That he just went right into the standings and the game that was played today. Cleveland beat Minnesota, and they're a game and a half ahead. He didn't know that question was coming. Mm-mm. But
he's Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's Rain Man.
Yeah, you don't have to look it up. You just ask
him. That's exactly right.
We could get a Dan out on our telephone.
A Dan out.
Yeah. And just ask instead of asking Siri, Dan.
That's not a bad idea.
And it would be all sports.
Maybe something to think about there, big boy.
There we go. We're going to get rich off of Dan.
you're going to have something else on your shirt besides Spiegel Contracting.
That's right. Spiegel Contracting on one side, yeah. And on the other side, the Dan out.
The Dan out.
All right, it's about time for a break. Coming up at 5:30, as always, I guess Rex is going to join us.
Rex is going to join us. You know, he's fishing. I think it's the Southern Open or practicing for it. Today may be the first round. I don't know. But Rex is going to join us. But the Southern Open is real close. The winner of that gets to fish in the Bassmaster Classic. So we'll see how that's going for him.
When we come back from the break, we'll jump into a little high school action, what happened last week and what's coming up tomorrow night. And then I guess it'll be back into college football.
So. That's right.
Sports Talk Live 95.5. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey, Coleman, it's almost October. That means it's time for Coleman's Oktoberfest. Come check it out Wednesday, October the 4th through Sunday, October the 8th, and come celebrate our German heritage. The 5 days of activities for the whole family are taking place right in the middle of Coleman at the Coleman Fest Hall Marketplatz. Oktoberfest 2017 features a car show, arts and crafts, a kids area, 5K and 10K runs, German food, music, dancing, of course the famous beer garden, and even on select days, you got it. Live 95 is going to be broadcasting live. Come by and see us. This year's entertainment schedule is even better, including Terry Cavanaugh and the Alpine Express, who's providing your genuine German entertainment on most weeknights. Then on Friday and Saturday, check out this lineup. Beatles cover band performs Friday evening at 6:15, known as the Beatlets, followed by the area's own Overtones at 8:15, and wrapping up the night, country music star Riley Green takes the stage at 10:15. Saturday features country band Countrywide at 6:15, followed by a local group, Round 2, at 8:15, and Flyby Radio will wrap things up on Saturday night, taking the stage at 10 o'clock. Sunday will feature the Cotton Picking Kids at 1:30, followed by Warrie Crawford and his Coleman County Bluegrass Group, and Three on a String will wrap up Oktoberfest 2017, starting at 3:30 on Sunday. To get the full schedule and more information on the events taking place downtown, the Coleman Oktoberfest page there, or visit ColemanOktoberfest.com. Coleman Oktoberfest 2017, a Coleman tradition.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
All right, the time, 5 o'clock, and we've covered Dan, the man.
That's right.
We have went through the national anthem fiasco. We have covered...
That's going to continue for the whole season.
Yep, be ready for that. And we have talked about the basketball scandal. And so let's get to
that's just getting started.
Yeah, let's get to something that is a little better for us, and we'll talk high school football.
Yeah, not quite as controversial, you know, a little bit of high school football. Well, hey, Jason, last week our Cumming County teams that come out on the winning side of the coin, Cumming defeated Fort Payne in a close good football game. Both of us picked them. Fairview lost to Mortimer Jordan. Cove Springs, they lost to Fauntville. Good Hope went down to Cordova. Vimont lost Fultondale. Hansville lost J.B. Pennington. Ooh. And West Point defeated Corner. So we had, I think, about two of our county schools, or two of our schools in Cumming County that won last week, and that was West Point and Cumming. So everybody else kind of took it on the chin. But last week's picks, Jason had a much better week last week than he did
been,
the prior week.
It would have been worse.
It would have been. He was 5-2 this past week, and I was also 5-2. So that just gives a little bit, Jason, of credence to our ability to pick high school football.
That's right.
And people need to, you know, they need to listen to that, you know, later in the show, you know, about 45 minutes when we start making our picks again. So,
and let me update you on this while we're talking about that, Randy.
Yeah.
In college ball, I went 8-1 last week against the spread.
8-1.
So that takes me to 38-9-1 in college football against the spread this year.
You're probably wearing Chris out. That may be why Chris is, you know, not with us. I mean, he's in the hospital or whatever.
Right. Yeah, for anybody wondering why our regular guest hasn't been able to join us, he had a medical procedure that we really don't know what it was. That was last week. And then I was received a text from him last night, and he is still in the hospital. So, Chris, probably not listening out in Las Vegas, but we do wish you the best.
Absolutely.
Our prayers and thoughts are with you, and hope you get out of that place. That hospital, not a fun place to be.
It's not a fun place to be. That's exactly right. So I agree with you, Jason. Hope Chris gets to feeling better soon.
Have you been in the hospital, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been in there one time back in December when I had the heart attack.
Yeah.
I was in there for a day and a half.
You enjoy that?
It was as bad as anything I have ever done.
Was the stay in the hospital
nice.
Was the stay in the hospital worse than the heart attack?
50-50.
Okay.
The people, doctors, nurses, and everything, great.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and I used to think in high school, I'd like to be in the hospital. Get all the attention. People come see you, just lay around in
the
bed.
Change your bed for you and bring your food.
When you have an arterial ground and they get down there in that area where that arterial ground comes from, it's a different story.
Things change, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Oh, absolutely. But hey, Jason, real quickly, we'll hit on the games, the high school games for this coming or for tomorrow night. And we're not going to make our picks now, but I'll give you a rundown of those games. You've got Good Hope will be playing at home against Cold Springs. Holly Pond will be playing away at Asbury. Vinemont will be playing at home against Addison. Hansel will be playing away at Clements. West Point, I believe West Point has a bye. They are not playing this week. Cumming will be playing at home against Fayette County. And Fairview will be playing away at Priceville. So those are the high school games coming up tomorrow night. Again, all high school football games start at 7 o'clock. That is set by the Alabama High School Athletic Association. So every single game in the state of Alabama is a 7 o'clock kickoff.
Did I hear you say Asbury?
Asbury.
Now, where
it's
is
in
that?
Marshall County.
Marshall County. I've never heard of it. I worked all over Marshall County.
Yeah, it's in Asbury. There haven't been a high school all that long, and I think this may be the – I may be incorrect. The first year they've had football, they haven't had football for very many years. But so Holly Pond will be playing Asbury. So, but that's in Marshall County.
Holly Pond should get a win.
Well, you would think. You would think, but you know, we will see. Stranger things have happened.
That's right. That's right. College football world. We'll go over those games at the end when we do our picks. I've looked for what our picks was last week, but so far I haven't been able to find where I wrote.
You
it
haven't down. Located those. That's okay. Jason, you know, as everyone would know, the rankings for this week. I'll call those out quickly. The AP poll, which is what we have out now, is the AP and the coaches poll, but the AP carries a little more weight than the coaches poll does. So I'll run through those quickly. If you have comments on any of them, please stop me, and we'll go from there. At number 25, LSU. Number 24, Mississippi State. 23, West Virginia. 22, Notre Dame. 21 is Florida. 20 is Utah. 19, San Diego State. When would we ever thought San Diego State would be ahead of three SEC schools in their ranking? So, anyway, San Diego State, 19. At 18 is South Florida. At 17 is Louisville. 16 is Washington State. 15, Oklahoma State. 14 is Miami. 13 is Auburn. 12 is Virginia Tech. 11, Ohio State. 10 is Wisconsin, 9 is TCU, 8 Michigan, 7 Georgia, Georgia's up 4 spots, 6 Washington, 5 USC, and then the top 4 AP poll at number 4, Penn State, number 3, Oklahoma, number 2, Clemson, number 1, Alabama. Alabama received 52 first-place votes. Clemson received 8 first-place votes. And Oklahoma received 1. So that's the AP poll right there. We have about, how many SEC schools do we have there, Jason? 6 schools out of the SEC. It's in the top 25. But most of them come in at Florida at 21. Mississippi State 24, and then LSU 25, and then Auburn 13, Georgia 7, Alabama 1. So,
hey, Ryan, while you're talking about the rankings, we were interested last week to find out that Vanderbilt had the number one overall defense in the nation.
I remember somebody across from the table telling me that. At the same time, they thought
I did say that
they would not cover the spread.
Alabama would not cover. I could not have been more wrong.
Alabama had the spread covered by the first quarter, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was so fast. We were getting ready to go to Fairview to take Emma out for her cheering.
Yeah.
And I went. They kicked off. I went to the bathroom, and we had to run some kittens back up to Emma's house, Emma and Ella. So we run the kittens up there, came back, and it was 21-0.
And if anybody doesn't happen to know, it did end up 59-0. 59-0.
Vanderbilt, number one last week. Let's see where they are this week.
Yeah.
They have dropped back to... I think I already know this, but I'm going to make sure. I thought they were 40. No, they're 48 now in total defense.
They went from
that one game.
They went from 1 to 48. Well, you know, playing maybe Alabama A&M and whomever it was they opened up with probably certainly helped with that. The stats from the game are just they're truly unbelievable.
It's crazy.
I mean, they're unbelievable. Alabama passing, they didn't have to, but they threw for 181 yards. Rushing, they rushed for 496 yards. They would have rushed for over 500, but the last three or four plays, you know, they took a knee. And when they took a knee.
Yeah. I wonder if they were protesting.
They were protesting. They were protesting that Vandy didn't have a better football
this
team than that.
It's the same Vanderbilt team that said Alabama was next.
Yeah, that's right. And they're right. They were next.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, they, you know, they took a knee the last three or four plays, so that dropped them down below 500 yards rushing. Vandy had a total, their total rushing was 40 yards, and their passing, their total passing yardage was 38 yards. Vandy.
Well, those kind of stats, I don't see how they didn't score. So,
I know. Vandy never got past their own 44 yard line in the game.
Ooh.
Their own 44 yard line. And again, I understand. And hey, I like Vandy. Don't get me wrong. I like Vandy. I like their. There's nothing about Vandy, any athletics, that I don't like at Vandy. I like their basketball. I love that arena. But this was an absolute total no contest from, I guess you would say, before they ever kicked this thing off, it was already over. I think Alabama probably took some offense to what, you know, some of the one of the Vandy players was saying after their huge win over Kansas State, which was a ranked team, and basically calling out Bama or basically telling them, you know, you're next or whatever he may have said. And I think that gave Alabama a little bit of advantage, a little bit of an edge. That, you know, they kind of went in with their stinger out. And because, and I think Jason would agree, they are immensely talented. And if they are focused on the task at hand, which is whipping the guy across the line of scrimmage from you, there's not a lot of people in this country that's going to be able to handle them. You know, regardless, you know, I heard one of the guys on the SEC network, I can't think of his name right now, to come to me in a minute, says the only team that can beat Alabama is Alabama. And, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know, but
I wouldn't take it that far. But yeah, that's, I think Oklahoma is right in there with them. Clemson's right in there with them. Well, I don't know this. I don't know who wins this one this year, but
yeah.
Who do you think number one in the nation in defense now, Lenny?
The number one defensive team in the nation.
Unless you've seen it, you probably won't get it.
I have not
get the second one.
I have not. So it's going to be somebody that's right. That's not one of the top ranked teams. I guess what you're telling
Central
me.
Central Florida.
Oh, heavenly days!
And get this: the number two, University of Texas San Antonio.
Oh. Well, I wonder how bad, you know. Three is Florida State.
Clemson comes in at 13, Auburn at 15,
yeah.
And Alabama at 17. Who do you think the number one offensive team in the nation is? This one kind of surprised me.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is it out west?
No,
is
not
it on the west coast?
Mm-mm. This is a.
Can you give me a hint?
This is a ranked team.
It is a ranked team.
A top five ranked team.
North, south, east, or west?
almost middle ways.
Almost middle. Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Number two is a East Coast team.
Number two, an East Coast
number? Directional school.
A what?
That's a directional school.
Directional school.
So that means it's got a north, south, east, or west on it. On the East Coast.
North Carolina?
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Oklahoma has 2,422, averaging 606 yards a game. West Virginia, 2,379, or 595 a game. And coming in at number three, Oklahoma State, who took it on the chin. 2,320 yards. Alabama comes in at number 19, and Auburn has moved up to number 50 now in total offense.
Still a ways to go.
And, Ronnie, have you ever seen a team as bad as Missouri defensively?
Never in the history of the SEC have I seen. And I'll have to, you know, tell on my own self, because the first show we had, I said the surprise team in the SEC this year that would go to a win and that would win their bowl game, which means they would have to go to a bowl game, was Missouri.
Oh, I don't remember you saying that.
I most certainly did.
I believe I'd have kept that quiet.
Well, I just felt like I...
Of course, you just want to make me feel better about my Vandy.
I just felt like I wanted to fess up there that I just thought Missouri was going to have a much better year. They'd get to a bowl game and win their bowl
game.
They
have major problems.
It's atrocious. They don't only... You know, Jason, it's not only problems at the on the football field, it's problems on the campus altogether. They have dorms now that are sitting empty. Their student enrollment has gone down tremendously.
What's the deal with that?
Well, all the controversy they've had out there in the state of Missouri.
It's understandable.
And their enrollment is down. I saw a photo, you may have seen it a couple of weeks ago, when Missouri, I don't remember who they were playing, but they was getting their brains beat out at halftime. And they took a picture of the stands to begin the second half. And I would probably be safe to say there was no more than, you know, 5,000 to 8,000 people there.
Wow.
To kick off the second half of an SEC team.
Did you notice the crowd to open up the game against Auburn? I bet there was 10,000 seats open.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. So Missouri has some huge, huge problems.
Bam, 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 bam. Bow, 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 bow. That means it's time for a break. At 5:15, we'll take a short break, come back, and don't forget Rex Chambers joining us at 5:30. I want to say thanks to People's Bank for making this show possible.
Absolutely, thank you.
As every other show. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Waiting for the break.
Spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey, Coleman, it's almost October. That means it's time for Coleman's Oktoberfest. Come check it out Wednesday, October the 4th through Sunday, October the 8th, and come celebrate our German heritage. The 5 days of activities for the whole family are taking place right in the middle of Coleman at the Coleman Fest Hall Marketplatz. Oktoberfest 2017 features a car show, arts and crafts, a kids area, 5K and 10K runs, German food, music, dancing, of course the famous beer garden, and even on select days, you got it, Live 95 is going to be broadcasting live. Come by and see us. This year's entertainment schedule is even better, including Terry Cavanaugh and the Alpine Express, who's providing your genuine German entertainment on most weeknights. Then on Friday and Saturday, check out this lineup. Beatles cover band performs Friday evening at 6:15, known as the Beatlets, followed by the area's own Overtones at 8:15, and wrapping up the night, country music star Riley Green takes the stage at 10:15. Saturday features country band Countrywide at 6:15, followed by a local group, Round 2, at 8:15, and Flyby Radio will wrap things up on Saturday night, taking the stage at 10 o'clock. Sunday will feature the Cotton Pickin' Kids at 1:30, followed by Roy Crawford and his Coleman County Bluegrass Group, and Three on a String will wrap up Oktoberfest 2017, starting at 3:30 on Sunday. To get the full schedule and more information on the events taking place downtown, the Coleman Oktoberfest page there, or visit ColemanOktoberfest.com. Coleman Oktoberfest 2017, a Coleman tradition.
Talk live on a Thursday afternoon, and we'll get right to him. Mr. Rex Chambers on the line with us, and Rex is getting the line wet today. Hey, Rex, welcome back.
I'm sorry, was I snoring?
Hey, man, where are you right now?
Driving through town.
Driving through town. Have you been on the water all day?
All day long, all day. Snuck up the place, but didn't think it up bad. A lot of people did.
So tell us why you were on the lake, Rex.
Bassmaster Southern Open, number three stop of the season.
Wow, you getting that sound? There we go.
Rex.
Yeah, you still got me?
I got you now. Yeah, it was squealing like a pig.
I know it. Anyway, Bassmaster Southern Open on Smith Lake and 181 pros, 181 co-anglers, and only taking 15 pounds to win.
15 pounds?
15 pounds first and second. Then there's no 14-pound bags. Then a high 13-pound bags in third place. That's
wow.
How tough it is.
Wow. And that's how many hours of fishing?
That's an eight-hour day, you know, right at it. So, top 10 right now is only taking 11 pounds and 12 ounces. That's how tough Smith Lake is.
My goodness. So that's less than, way less than 2 pounds an hour if you wanted to do a little math on it.
Oh, yeah. It was, what got me is at the weigh-in and listening to people on stage for a little while, and everybody talked about, I lost this fish, and I lost that fish, and I lost this fish. And I'm like, I would have loved to have got enough bites to lose them. I mean, I only had four fish. I didn't even have a limit. I'm sitting in 42nd place out of 181.
Yeah.
And I think tomorrow, of course, is cut day. Tomorrow, if you don't make the top 12, you get a check and go home. But the thing about it is you know, it pays 40 places. So I got to do a little bit better tomorrow to jump up in that top 40.
Yeah, maybe to at least, at worst, get your money back.
Yeah, that's all you get. Get your money back for the last check. But, Jesse Wiggins, of course. Elite pro, Lake guru, sitting in second place. Jordan Lee, classic winner. I think he's sitting in fourth place with 13 pounds. It was an extremely tough day, but if you just had a decent day today, you did well.
Right. Would you anticipate, you know, there's no huge weather change or anything like that coming, you know, tonight? Tomorrow's going to be very similar. I guess maybe a little bit cooler tomorrow. So are you anticipating the same thing tomorrow, Rex?
Yeah, it's not going to change. I think we're going to have a little bit of wind coming in this evening.
Okay.
It's just today, majority of the lake was slick. There were some places where it had some wind. But
yeah.
It didn't matter. It's just we're. Water temperature is the whole key in September, and it's just too stinking hot. It was 79.5 at blast off today.
Yeah.
When I was finished at 3:30, I think it was 84.
Wow.
84.5. So, you know, you got to get below 80 for that the real good bite to be going. I mean, and everybody caught their fish early. The ones that caught good bags, and I did too. I mean, I caught three in the first hour, so I went 7 hours with one keeper.
Oh, my.
I caught a lot of fish.
Oh, okay,
A lot of fish. I just didn't catch any big fish. You know, 15-inch minimum, and I think I boated 17, 18 fish today, but I only get those four over 15.
Yeah. Was that the norm, Rex, for everybody else, that everybody was catching fish, but they just weren't catching, you know, 15-inch or bigger?
Most everybody didn't catch a lot of numbers today.
Okay.
Didn't hear people catching many fish at all. And I wouldn't have, but I've got two areas that's got a lot of 14.5-inch fish on it, and they were biting a little bit. And I only caught one keeper out of that area. But you know what? I'll be back in it tomorrow again. And maybe if I catch 30, I can get two.
So realistically, the opportunity to get in the top 10 is not, it's going to take.
Oh, absolutely. I can get in the top 10 tomorrow. I just got to have what the top 5 had today. You know, I get a 14, 15 pound bag tomorrow. I still make it, or still push it anyway. Be real close to the top 12.
Okay. So,
and it's very possible. I mean, I'm around some fish. I just couldn't get on the bite today. That's what the big deal was for me today. I can sit there and see them. They're just shut down on me. I can't give them a bite.
Right. So you're still in the hunt, even though you just had four fish today.
It's going to take a big day tomorrow. You know, I'm not being, you know, not overly optimistic. But, you know, it's going to be a tough day again tomorrow. But yeah, if the bites I got today are a little bit bigger, and then I get one big bite away. If I got a 3 or 4 pounder, which usually happens in 8 hours of fishing, you're going to get that 1 3 or 4 pound bite on Smith Lake.
Right.
I didn't get it today. You know, I lost one fish all day long, and it was not a 3 pounder. It might have been a keeper. I didn't get to see it.
Right.
But it wasn't a game changer, you know. So, I just did not get that quality bite today. And, you know, what I had today with one quality bite, you never know. Might do it tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what the biggest individual fish was that was caught today?
That was my tournament partner, guide partner, Mr. Brent Crow.
Oh, really? Big fish today.
Plus largemouth.
Fantastic. Is there, is there any cash for that?
It's Phoenix Boats pays a daily big bass, I think, $1,000.
So that one fish, he rung up $1,000. Sweet.
Yeah, but he only had one more to go with. he's sitting about 3 spots behind me in like 44th place or something like that. So, collectively, we did not do very well today, but at least he made a little money.
I got you. Well, you know, hey, thank goodness that a lot of people in front of you didn't do very well either. So, regardless of where you're sitting, you know, you've got an opportunity to get in that area, that range that you want to be in.
Oh yeah, like I said, I just got to have a really good day tomorrow, just like the ones at the top did today. So, and we'll see. You know, as long as I can get what I got, you know, and better tomorrow, you know, it'll be a payday. But, you know, this is a hero or zero.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to win this one. You know, getting a check, of course, is just a little bit of a bonus.
Sure.
But I can always use that, you know, $1,500 that I already paid out. But good day tomorrow. You never know.
Absolutely. Rex, as far as tomorrow, I'm not going to ask you what you were fishing or anything like that, but are you going to change, you know, what you were doing, or are you going to continue to do the same thing you've been doing? I mean, you caught 16, 17 fish. I mean, do you need to change a whole lot?
I'll be fishing the exact same places.
Yeah.
With the exact same baits, because I know what lives there.
Right. And
getting the bites.
Yeah, and then the chips fall where they may.
Yep. You know, if I do the same as I did today, maybe look at them get paid. And if a fish bites that I know that lives there, I'll make a top, you know, 12, top 15, top 12.
Right. Now, does I won't keep you too much longer, top 12, does that get you somewhere else, Rex, or is that just a mental thing?
Now, top 12 fishes on Saturday.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, only the top 12 fishes Saturday.
Okay.
So, you know, if you make top 12, you know, realistically, you have a chance at winning. But usually those top 3 or 4 is hard to catch.
Right.
On that third day.
And those top 3 or 4 again were, could you give those to us again?
Yeah, well, Jesse Wiggins was in second.
Right.
Shin Fuke is in first place with 15 pounds, 4 ounces.
Okay. And then Jordan is in fourth.
And then, Jordan Lee's got
13-11
sitting in fourth place.
Okay. Well, good deal. Well, hey, man, you know, the possibilities are still there, you know.
We shall see tomorrow.
Absolutely. Hey, Rex, man, I know you're exhausted and worn out. I'm going to let you go, but I sure do appreciate you giving us a call today, kind of updating us on what's going on.
All right, brother. Y'all have a good one.
You got it. Okay, Rex, thanks, man, and best of luck tomorrow. So there is our fishing guru, Jason, Mr. Rex Chambers. Had a tough day today, as he said.
Yeah.
Didn't have a, you know, had
those
four.
Those days are like that.
You have those.
A little fishing. I did.
That's right. Oh. But, you know, heck, you know, as he said, he caught 17 fish. If he can bag a big limit, tomorrow, get him in the top 12, and then get him fishing, you know, on Saturday. So we just wish he and Jordan Lee and I think the Jesse Wiggins is from Addison. So we wish all those guys the best of luck. The winner of that gets to fish in the Bassmaster Classic, which we know Mr. Jordan Lee has already won that. And he may be a guy we need to try to get on sometime.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Here before long, we'll get to see if we can get Jordan to either give us a call or come by and sit down and spend a little time with us. So that's Rex. Normally we have him telling us what you know, the fishing reports, but he's been at Smith Lake, I'm sure, for the last week, couple of weeks, practicing for this tournament here. So we weren't going to bother him too much. Plus,
not a lot to report today, other than the big fish ain't biting.
That's exactly right. Not a lot of not a lot to report. So, hey, Melissa, would it be possible if you take us to a break, and then when we come back, we will we'll talk a little bit more and do our picks. Could we do that, please? Fantastic. We kind of caught Melissa off guard there. So, hey, stay with us. Sports Talk Live, we're going to come back, and we may even give our picks a little bit early today, Jason.
Sounds like a winner.
If Miss Melissa will allow us to do that. So stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. It is 5:30 on the nose.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Rolling Stone.
Look, start me up, baby.
I'm
How
telling
about
you.
That?
Hey, start me up, Auburn Tiger.
Start me up. Hey, they're going to need to get started up. It's going to be a little bit different this week than last week against Missouri, wouldn't
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, a little bit. I hope the outcome's
right. I've got to know. You think they cover before we start getting into picks
Boy,
here?
Boy, I don't know. That's one I'm leaving
yeah,
alone.
That's
I don't
tough
like
right there.
Side,
absolutely. Hey, before we get into our picks, Jason, real quick, let me run through the SEC standings as they are right as they are right now, and then we'll get in and do some of our picks. And on the east side, we have Florida in the conference. They are 2-0. They're sitting at the top at this time. They are 2-1 overall. Georgia Bulldogs 1-0 in the conference, 4-0 overall. Kentucky Wildcats 1-1 in the conference, 3-1 overall. South Carolina the same, 1-1 in the conference, 3-1 overall. Then Jason's team, Tennessee Volunteers, 0-1. And some way, somehow, they are 3-1 overall, which is, I mean, that's almost as like the second coming of the good Lord, you know, that they're sitting there at 3-1. There's no way they should be 3-1.
Boy, they pulled one off last weekend.
And like they didn't against Georgia Tech at the beginning of the year. Good gracious. Anyway, Vandy, also 0-1. They're 3-1 overall. Missouri, 0-2 in the conference, 1-3 overall. So that is the East standings as they are right now. I don't think, in my opinion, Jason's may be different. At the end, I do not see Florida being on top of the Eastern Division. I think, without any doubt, the best team in that conference and that division is the Georgia Bulldogs. I think they will represent the East. On the West side, you've got Alabama. They're 1-0 in the conference, 4-0 overall. Auburn, 1-0 conference, 3-1 overall. Texas A&M, 1-0 in the conference, 3-1 overall. Mississippi State, 1-1 in the conference, 3-1 overall. Ole Miss, they have not played a conference game yet. They are 2-1 overall. LSU, 0-1 in the conference, 3-1 overall. And the Arkansas Razorbacks are 0-1 in the conference, 1-2 overall. And I know Jason is no huge fan of Brett Bielema either.
No.
It looks like he is in trouble.
I think he is. And I was reading the other night, running a lot of folks on Twitter from Wisconsin congratulating Arkansas for getting him.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was surprising how many people said they were glad that he left Wisconsin and went to Arkansas.
Okay.
I thought he was somewhat liked.
Man, I did too. But
didn't sound like it.
Yeah, that was a big loss for him against Texas A&M this past week. A really, really good entertaining football game to watch. My question to you, Jason, Texas A&M, they're sitting at 3-1. Again, 1-0 in the conference. Is the heat a little bit off of Kevin Sumlin, or is that
a little bit? But that loss to California still is
UCLA. That one will stay with them for a while.
Not going to forget that.
Yeah, but as of this moment, you know, they're sitting there at 3-1.
Another loss or two, and then that game becomes big again. So
yeah. So, but maybe not quite as hot as it was for him. We talked a little bit about this before. How do you think the LSU fan base feel about Ed Orgeron now? You know, I mean, he was, as we said last week, they fired a guy that had won 77% of his games. He won two SEC titles, a national title, and you ran him off because 77% wasn't good enough. And last week they get,
That crazy deserves what they get.
They get drilled by Mississippi State. Then Mississippi State turns around and gets drilled by Georgia. So I don't know what any of that says. I don't know what any of that means. You can take a club that looks really good last Saturday or Saturday before last, and then the next Saturday, you know, they look like they just completely fall apart, look disinterested, unorganized. So I think other than Alabama has been probably the most consistent performing team so far, and they've had a couple of, you know, games where, you know, they weren't world beaters either. But as Jason and I both talk all the time, you're not going to get your team. Your team is not going to play at peak performance week in and week out. It doesn't happen. It's never happened. It's never going to happen. It doesn't matter whether it's any, whatever, pro sport, college sport, high school sport. What you hope is that when you're not playing as well as you're capable of playing, that you're still good enough to win. And that's what it comes down to. So Alabama has been that so far. Even the games they didn't play well, they're certainly still good enough to win without playing their best.
And Alabama's going to be that way
until
they meet Auburn or Georgia. I don't think there's any competition to Alabama, and I don't know that Auburn is going to be any competition.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, time will tell. Time will tell.
There's not any competition before that.
Shouldn't be. There shouldn't be.
There's not a chance in Haiti that Alabama will lose.
I mean, Alabama's a 28.5-point favorite over Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has beat them, what, two out of the last three?
Yep.
And, you know, so we'll see how it goes. All right, that's the SEC standings as of this week. So we'll know more. Certainly, those will change after Saturday night. Jason, let's do the high school picks right now.
Get her done.
And then we will do the college picks, and then we will – Melissa is going to allow us to close out a few minutes early today. We appreciate her letting us do that, and we also appreciate Melissa – running the brains of this outfit.
Shape if
that's
we
right. Melissa is the brains of this outfit, and we appreciate her taking care of us. So, because we don't know Jack. So, anyway, all right, Jason. Here we go with the high school games: Cullman versus Fayette County.
Cullman versus Fayette County.
Fayette County's 4A.
Oh, then Cullman wins.
Okay.
We're gonna win this one 38-6.
Oh, you're gonna give me a score?
Yeah, let's give score.
Okay,
today.
Jason's 38-6. I will say it will be. I think it. Boy, that's a good score, Jason. I'm going to go 40-12.
All right.
That's my pick. Fairview at Priceville. Yep.
Tell me something about Priceville.
Don't think they're very good.
Okay. Fairview wins this one 30-13.
30-13 Fairview over Priceville. I'm also going with Fairview. I'm going to say it's going to be closer than that. Fairview wins 17-10. Okay. All right. Good Hope versus Cold Springs.
Good Hope versus Cold Springs. Good Hope wins this one 44-14.
44-14, Good Hope over Cold Springs. I'm also going with Good Hope. They're going to score a lot of points. That seems to be what's taking place. Cold Springs is giving up a lot of points. So I'm going to say 47-12. Holly Pond at Asbury.
Asbury, you said, this may be their first year for football.
Haven't been playing very long.
So I'm going to say Holly Pond wins this one 20-6.
26 Holly Pond over Asbury. I'm going Holly Pond as well. I'm going higher. Holly Pond 35, Asbury. I'm going with Jason there. I'm going to say 6. Vinemont versus Addison.
The Bulldogs will pluck the Eagles. I did say pluck.
Yeah. All right.
The score will be 42-0.
Wow.
Zero.
You get no love whatsoever for the Eagles, huh? So you're saying Addison's going to shut them out 42-0. Well, I think Addison wins the football game, but I'm not going to go that route. I say it will be 28-7, Addison. And the last high school game, Hansville at Clements. I know nothing about Clements.
All right, I don't either, but I'm going to say Clements wins this one 16-13,
Clements. I will also go with Clements, and I will say 24-14. Clements
over. That'll
give
us something entertaining to look at somebody beats somebody right the opposite.
That's exactly right. So that's our high school picks for the coming week. And last week, we were both 5-2, so had a pretty good week.
Hey, that wins you money.
That's all right. That's money, baby.
Going into the college world, we'll do the point spread here, and we'll pick the score in these two, Ronnie.
All right.
Just to make it a little more interesting. Tonight, a game worth watching.
Pretty good game, yeah.
Texas and Iowa State. Texas travels to Iowa State. They are a 4.5-point favorite.
I'm taking Texas to win. You're saying Texas is favored to win.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking Texas to win. My score is
28-17. I'm going to say Texas wins this one in a high scoring affair. I'm going to say 38-31. All right, Miami, -6, playing at Duke.
Duke. Miami's going to win that football game. I've watched a little bit of Duke, not overly impressed with them. Miami gets a big win. I think they certainly cover the spread. Miami wins 30-13.
30-13, and I'm going to say Miami wins this one also. Oh, I like that 30 mark there, Ronnie. So I'm going to say 31-20.
Okay.
USC -4 playing at Washington State.
That's a 9:30 game. We looked at it earlier. I would love to watch that ball. Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see that game. I'd love to watch that game. You got the a good solid USC. I think they're ranked about 4th. Washington State about 16th. Washington State coach Mike Leach. You know, he's a pirate and all this kind of stuff, but. Strange character, but he has a good football team. He has a good football team. I'm going with an upset. I think Washington State wins the ball game
38-33. Yep. And I'm going with USC 34-23.
Okay.
Vandy travels down to Gatorland in the swamp.
Well,
Florida, a 9-point favorite over that tough defense of Vandy.
Yeah, that went from number one to about 40-something,
Keep
right?
in mind, though, Florida, the worst offensive team in the SEC and the worst defensive team in the SEC, according to stats.
You wonder what the how many people are going to be at that game. You wonder how much ticket costs. I know I wouldn't pay to go watch it. But, boy, what a sleeper, Florida and Vandy. Florida wins. I don't think they cover the spread because they may not score 9 points. So I'll take, but I'll take Florida 13-6.
I'm also going with Florida. I think they'll get a few more than that, 20-13.
You're probably right.
All right. I'm going to skip this one for right now and come back to it. Iowa at Michigan State. Michigan State a 3-point favorite over Iowa.
Okay. I'll take Michigan State. Michigan State wins 24-21.
All right, and I like Michigan State also in that one, 27-17. All right, Mississippi State at Auburn. Auburn a 9.5-point favorite.
Okay, I'm picking Auburn to win the football game. I think it'll be closer than a 9.5. I'll say Auburn wins 24-17.
Well, I like that score.
Thank you.
I'm going to say Auburn wins it also 27. I don't think Mississippi State's going to get much done against that Auburn defense. I'm going to say 13.
Okay.
Ole Miss at Alabama. Alabama a 27.5-point favorite.
Boy, that's a lot of points right
there.
Playing
an SEC team.
When would you? I mean,
it's been a long time.
Alabama wins the football game. I just don't see them covering that spread. They may do it, but I don't think they will. But I think Bama wins. Bama wins 31-10.
31-10, and I'm also going with Alabama. I'm going to say 42-17. No, they're not going to score that many. I'm going to go with your score, 42-10.
All right.
They will cover.
You think they cover?
I didn't think so until I wrote that score down.
But now you do.
Clemson at Virginia Tech. Clemson, a 7.5-point favorite.
I think that'd be a pretty good football game.
I do, too.
Clemson is a what, 7.5?
7.5.
Okay. I think Clemson wins. I'm almost taking Virginia Tech, but I'm going to take Clemson in a nail-biter,
21-19. I agree with you. Clemson wins, and I agree that I don't think they cover either. I'm going to say 24-21.
Okay. About the same.
All right, and my game of the week, and the reason I call this my game of the week. I think this is the play to put the marbles on. Florida State, -7.5, playing at Wake Forest. Florida State, 0-2. They've got to get it in gear. I think this week they get it in gear, and they cover in a big way.
So you're saying for entertainment purposes only, you are all over Florida State.
Florida State. And I'm going to go first on this one because I've done got all this in my head.
Okay.
Florida State wins this one 30-13.
So you're not only they winning, they are covering the spread.
Right.
Okay, well, if you're that confident, I will also go Florida State, but I'm going to go, I don't think they You know, Wake Forest, are they? I don't know anything about Wake Forest.
I don't either.
Okay. I don't think Florida's going to, I don't think they're going to score 30 points. I think the 21-10.
21-10.
Yeah.
All right. Covering. There you have it. That's the game of the week. That's the game. My flaming arrow right there.
Along with all these others, you can take them to the bank. We're going to be spot on with all those.
Make millions off of it.
Make absolute millions. Absolute millions.
I would say that was my game of the week. My next play I feel the most confident on running is Miami minus 6 playing Duke.
Yeah.
I think they cover. You take those, put them together in a parlay.
Yeah. For entertainment purposes only.
That's right. Win a little extra.
And folks, you know, this is not an amateur sitting, you know, giving you these plays of the week.
38-9.
This guy is 38-9.
Against the spread.
Against the spread in college football. I challenge you to find many people who have better records so far this season than Jason does. So you might want to pay attention
Florida
to this
State
guy.
Florida State and Miami. Staying down south.
There it is. Florida State, Miami, beat all over them.
All right, that'll wrap it up for this week. Melissa's going to let us out. She's not as bad a slave driver as Jay is.
She's not.
We're going to slip out here a little early and get a bite to eat.
That's right.
Hope everyone has a great weekend, a safe weekend, and maybe next week we won't have to talk about the national anthem and
Amen.
College basketball.
Amen. Remember the game tonight, ESPN,
that's right.
Texas, Iowa State. Should be a pretty good game for a Thursday night.
Until next week, we'll see you. Be safe. A big war eagle.
And a great big Roll Tide.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks again to People's Bank for making this show possible. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We gone.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. An employee with Drummond Company, two attorneys indicted on charges related to disgraced former state representative Oliver Robinson, Joel Iverson Gilbert, and Stephen George McKinney, both attorneys and partners at Balch and Bingham, and David Lynn Robertson, a vice president at Drummond Company, charged with bribery and more. McKinney chaired the firm's Environmental and Natural Resources section. Drummond hired Balch and Bingham to respond to actions by the EPA to expand a Superfund cleanup site in North Birmingham. Drummond owned a company there and would have been liable for the cost of cleanup. Robinson pleading guilty to try to convince North Birmingham residents not to have their land tested for possible contaminants. Prosecutors say he was paid off to do it. One person hospitalized in Huntsville after they were shot in the arm this morning. It happened in an apartment complex on Patton Road. Victims should recover. Two family dogs in Mobile County exposed to rabies. The health department there says the dogs were exposed to a rabid bat that was alive and on the ground but couldn't fly. Dogs are under home quarantine for the next 45 days. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Jefferson County Coroner's Office rules the death of an 18-month-old girl from Birmingham a homicide, the child dying from blunt force trauma. The case where the mother of Talia Alexander Burke left the child in the care of her boyfriend. When she returned home from work, the child was unresponsive, pronounced dead at Children's of Alabama. Alabama basketball administrator Kobe Baker's resignation tied to an FBI investigation related to corruption and bribery that also involves former Auburn assistant Chuck Person. Baker told Alabama officials he's staff member number one in that FBI complaint. Now, he's not been charged with a crime, and so far there's no evidence of any NCAA or SEC violations committed by Bama. State Representative Lynn Greer, who represents Lauderdale and Limestone counties, intends to reintroduce the Alabama Church Protection Act in the 2018 legislative session. This allows congregations to establish an armed security team made up of their own members. Now, earlier this year, the proposal passed in the House but died in the state Senate. Greer says the recent shooting at a church in Nashville shows this law is needed. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Cooler weather, warm waters, and fantastic festivals and events make fall a great time for a trip to Alabama's beaches. The 46th National Shrimp Festival returns October 12th through 15th on the public beach in Gulf Shores. Enjoy music, arts, and crafts, and of course, lots of shrimp. Come to Gulf Shores November 3rd and 4th for the Hangouts Oyster Cook-Off and Craft Beer Weekend. Enjoy fresh Gulf oysters served in a variety of ways. Wash them down with a craft beer and enjoy the great music. The 33rd Annual Frank Brown International Songwriters Festival is November 9th.
9th through 19th. The festival takes place in multiple venues, featuring writers of the songs we all know and love. The Wharf in Orange Beach will again host the World Food Championships, November 8th through 12th, the largest food sport competition in the world, featuring more than 400 teams from 45 states and 20 countries. The Coastal Half Marathon in Orange Beach will follow Thanksgiving, November 25th. Runners can participate in the half marathon, 5K run, or 1 mile fun run. What better way to burn off a few Thanksgiving calories? Find a full list of fun events and activities at calendarofevents@gulfshores.com. We can't wait to see you at the beach this fall.
In money news, the city of Brighton is in a mess financially as well as administratively. The mayor, Brandon Dean, removed from office after illegal absentee votes were found to have put him over the top. Brighton City Council members say interim mayor Rhonda Bean is keeping the council in the dark.
If we don't make the correct decisions now, the future of Brighton is in trouble. We were off to a great start. We planned with so much prestige. We still do have things that we are going to accomplish. But if we do not have the right leadership to make that effective, it will not work.
In Hoover, artists on the Bluff have until the end of the year to find a new location for their nonprofit. They currently operate out of the old Bluff Park Elementary School. City school officials citing the expense they paid for the artist's electric bills for 6 years. Now the artist will be responsible for utilities through December, and the fire marshal's making sure the building's up to code. Zipcar is available on the UAB campus for rent now. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit